Hello and welcome to the Accelerometer Quick Start for Windows Phone 7 using Silverlight as your dev platform. I'm John Mulhausen and I'll be your guide today. I'm going to make the following assumptions before we get started. One, you have installed the proper tools to develop Windows Phone 7 applications using Silverlight. Two is you know what an accelerometer is. I also need to assume that you can code, at least a little, although Silverlight for Windows Phone now supports Visual Basic. We do this demo in C#, so object-oriented concepts in C# is something you need to be familiar with. It's not too complex or anything, but we do make one cross-thread call, and I'll explain how and why we do that when we get there.
Lastly, you will pause and rewind when you need to because I want to go fast in order to keep the video nice and short. All right, with all that in mind, let's fire up Visual Studio and get started. Launch Visual Studio and start a new project of type Silverlight for Windows Phone. We'll call our project Accelerometer Viewer. Get the environment oriented and make sure the toolbox with Windows Phone controls is showing you the available UI elements. Go ahead and change the text properties of the default text blocks to something meaningful. Then create new text blocks by dragging them over from the toolbox. We'll need several, some for labeling and some for dynamically updating with C# code to show accelerometer data. The ones being used for labeling should have their text display X, Y, and Z labels that correspond to the accelerometer's axes. The ones that will be updated should be given meaningful names that we can refer to easily in code. We'll call ours that are used for updating X readout, Y readout, and Z readout, and the ones that are used for labeling will display X colon, Y colon, and Z colon, like so. Now drag over some rectangles from the toolbox and align them visually with the X, Y, and Z labels. Give them different colors by changing the fill property. This creates a visual legend that we'll be using later. Here I will use red to label the x-axis, blue to label the y-axis, and green to label the z-axis. As they're for display only, it isn't really necessary to give them meaningful names. Instead, we just change the fill property to be the colors we want and move on. Now we'll create the text blocks that will be used to display accelerometer readings and give them the names X readout, Y readout, and Z readout, placing them next to their corresponding labels. Accelerometer data is expressed as a floating point value, so I put 1.0 as the default value in the text block's text property. Now drag over a button element from the toolbox and change the content property to display the word pause. Later we will wire this up so that it starts and stops the accelerometer. Next, drag over a canvas element from the toolbox and change its background to white. This is where graph lines will be plotted in real time, showing a visual readout of the accelerometer activity. The colors of the graph lines will correspond to the colors of the rectangles you created earlier. Make some room for smaller text blocks that label the graph values. We'll have a midpoint of 0, a high of 1.0, and a low of negative 1.0. So, create some small text blocks that show these values and place them at the top, middle, and bottom of the graph. The last order of business of the canvas is to give it a meaningful name so that it can be updated in code later. Here, we'll use the name log. Now we begin wiring up this UI with code. Double-click the button and the onClick event will be wired to an appropriately named and structured function for you that is empty. For now, we're just going to have it switch its display text between play and pause. It's finally time to start making use of the accelerometer. The first step is to add a reference to the Microsoft.devices.sensors assembly by right-clicking on the References item in Solution Explorer, clicking Add Reference, and choosing that item in the .NET menu. Then, add a statement with the using keyword referencing that namespace. The accelerometer object will now be available. Accelerometer interaction requires coordination across multiple methods. So let's add an accelerometer reference as a data member for the main page class. So that the accelerometer is started by default, let's call the accelerometer object's start method in the application's startup function. Then we need to wire up the accelerometer's reading changed event to a function that will accept accelerometer data. We'll call that function myHandler. This function will be called every time the accelerometer reading changes, and it is constantly changing for as long as the state is active. There is one problem. MyHandler will be called from within the accelerometer thread, which is separate from the UI thread, so we must use the dispatcher object to invoke a method that will do the updates to the UI for us. We'll call this method updateMyScreen. It is on updateMyScreen where it all comes together. The accelerometer data we want is in the accelerometer reading event args object that has been passed in from MyHandler. The UI elements are all appropriately named and ready to receive this data. For the text blocks, we merely need to convert the data into a string with the toString function, shown here. At this point, you could build the app and have a working example of accelerometer use that creates visual output. In fact, if graphing or visualizing the data using the canvas doesn't interest you, you can stop watching now and I shall bid you good day. Now, we want a seismograph-like readout that tracks time horizontally and intensity vertically, and has one graph line per x, y, or z axis. Assuming a 400 by 400 canvas, which you'll see me enforce now, and keeping in mind that on the canvas, lower numbers mean higher vertical position on the pixel grid, that means the negative 1 to 1 range of the accelerometer needs to be inverted and expanded to a 400 to 0 range, like so. The way the graph lines will be drawn on the canvas is the same as how the legend on the UI is drawn, by using the rectangle object, only there will be hundreds of pixel-sized rectangles being generated by the constant calls to update my screen. These rectangles will be given their corresponding colors and use the vertical positions we calculated above. We want to generate three new rectangles of differing colors per call to update my screen, and those colors conform to the earlier uses of red for X, blue for Y, and green for Z that was established in the UI. Now, we've calculated the vertical position of these pixels, but to plot a line, the horizontal position needs to slowly graduate as time passes. We can accomplish that with a generic iterator that we increment by 1 each time the update my screen method is called, and use that value directly for horizontal positioning. The logic behind this iterator requires an understanding of the accelerometer's reading changed event. The reading of the accelerometer is updated in sync with the rendering loop, in other words, at a rate of 30 frames per second. If you'll pardon the pseudocode and phony brackets, our iterator is now also being incremented every time this update occurs, at a rate of 30 frames per second. Now consider the canvas, a blank space on which we are painting pixels, which has an x-axis and a y-axis on which we can plot our graph. If we feed that iterator value in as the position for x and update the graph in sync with the reading changed event as well, the pixels will, somewhat magically, begin to plot time and travel from left to right across the graph as they are painted onto the canvas. Both the horizontal and vertical positions are kept as doubles, as that is what the rectangle object expects. The iterator needs to exist outside the context of updateMyScreen, so we will make it a data member for the class alongside our accelerometer object. These values are constrained to a 0 to 399 range because the positions are relative to the canvas, which is 400 by 400 in size. These values are entered as offsets from the canvas's top border and left border using the rectangle's setValue method, which takes both data points as arguments, as seen here. Just for a little extra line thickness on the graph, you may want to set the height of the rectangle to be greater than just 1 pixel. For my app, I'm setting it to 2 pixels. These rectangles are rendered on the canvas surface by making them children of the canvas, hierarchically speaking, and that is done by the add method of the canvas's children property. You'll remember our canvas's name was log. Lastly, we need to wire up the iterator so that it renders the new pixels in the right place, returning to the zero position when it reaches the right edge of our 400 pixel by 400 pixel canvas. At that point, we will also wipe out the canvas surface by using the clear method of the canvas's children property. Otherwise, the current three pixels should just be rendered one pixel over from the last three, so we increment the iterator by one. As a final touch, add start and stop statements to the play and pause method, and you're done. So, that is the app. Now, if you deploy this in the Windows Phone 7 emulator, you will see just the default values being repeated again and again. So here, the reading changed event is firing, but it's just sending the same values, and the X iterator is going and redrawing that line across the screen horizontally. Looks like a flat line because it's static and there's no accelerometer in your computer being shaken around. So let's change our deployment target here in that top menu, switch it to device. And then, since there is an accelerometer in your phone, we'll see some real data. Now, whichever side of the phone is facing the Earth will experience basically negative one worth of acceleration force according to the accelerometer readings, because one represents Earth's gravity amount of acceleration force, if that makes sense. So as you tilt the phone left and right, see if you hold it perfectly straight here, the z-axis stays pretty flatlined, but as you tilt the left and right sides towards the Earth, the amount of acceleration force they experience changes, makes those lines move up and down. Now, tilting will stay within the 1 to negative 1 sort of range. Shaking, you can obviously shake the phone harder than the Earth is pulling on it. So that would cause the phone to experience even, you know, greater data points. Here you can see the z-axis is going completely off the chart. Obviously, shaking it up and down and left and right affects the blue and red lines, one more than the other, depending on the direction, but it affects them all, so you do have to sort of do the proper data analysis to figure out shaking gestures if you need to do something specific there. The X and Y sort of lines seem to be not quite aligned, so you should consider calibrating as a first step, because this phone is lying perfectly flat on the desk right now, and yet you can see X and Y, there's a pretty big gap between those two lines as the phone lays flat on its back. A common technique to calibrate would be ask the user to set the phone on a flat surface, take those readings, use those as a basis. So, not too hard to do. And that does it. I hope you've enjoyed this video, and if you need to get in touch with me, it's jomul@microsoft.com. And for more information on developing Windows Phone 7 apps with Silverlight, hit up silverlight.net. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.